more money into it.
And you know that, you know that's the problem.
320.
Yeah, that's the same engine.
You're old, won't you?
I have a roller dock.
I bet it is.
I just get everybody's tickets and then we move on.
You wouldn't see any motions. I'm about a gallon of that one. You want to do them in a block? You want to do them all in a block?
You put a stainless steel pump on it?
The kid program?
Okay.
What kid program?
You do better than 60.
Yeah, it worked.
Mine was mine when I first put it in there.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll start the meeting. When we looked up and saw in the work session that it was past 7 o'clock, Rob O'Reilly said it's got to be 7 o'clock somewhere in the world, so we'll pretend that's our time frame we're working on. But our apologies to you for a long work session. We'll move along to item one, introductions, announcements, and comments from staff. Any?
Should I stand up here and direct traffic?
You could. Yeah, that'd be great.
George talks and I do the hand signals.
Okay. Good evening. if you look behind the budget tab in your notebooks, Alicia has very graciously provided us with all kinds of financial information. And you can see that there is roughly $1.4 million in the fund right now that is available for obligation. And just as a quick reminder to get it on the record, that money is not the normal amount of money that comes into the fund, rather it's a windfall that came from several places. And the four places are actually listed there for you to see. One of them is the fact that DGIF did an audit of their licensing system and found out they owed us almost $700,000. And the other amounts of money come in where the budget or the grant was larger than the expenditures, and we then returned that money to the fund for obligation. So right now, $1.4 million. Are there any questions? Or
any questions?
I have one question.
Yes,
I didn't get to ask earlier. In the past, they said that they could administer the fund without a charge. Is that correct?
Yes.
Under the license.
Yes, sir. That was a different set of folks, but it was all of the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries.
Yeah. So my question was going to be, so what's changed now? That
leadership.
I think that's a good, an excellent question, Mr. Randolph. And I think it's probably one that, you know, as we try to get more information, we'll be bringing up.
Okay.
Wait a minute, you were still talking about the amount to pay the game department or something?
Yes,
else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of the other things is that the department of, if I can just go on with all the financial stuff right now, is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay. In 1992, when the bill was passed in the Virginia General Assembly, laws were added to the Code of Virginia to establish the saltwater recreational fishing license and the fund, and that bill, I think, there was lots of discussion and debate in the General Assembly, but one of the bedrocks of these licenses being sold was that the VMRC was to work with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries because they have a wonderful statewide network of agents who sell the many, many licenses, you know, hunting and fishing and so forth that Game and Inland Fisheries is responsible for. The other part of the fiscal impact statement that accompanied the bill identified costs that should be paid to the Game Department every year by the Marine Resources Commission for these services. When we began, we weren't nearly this computerized. you know, we knew we were paying for them to print licensing books and all sorts of things like that. So we went along for a number of years. They billed us, we paid them. And then the billing document stopped for a number of years, despite us asking, you know, continuously, do we owe you some money or whatever? And then some of us were up at the game department meeting with them about the licensing system, and we were asked several times why we were not paying, we being the fund, why we weren't paying for all these services that Department of Game and Inland Fisheries could do for us. So we're in the very, very early stages of negotiating some type of an MOU between the two agencies, because being done at the game department's request. But because I wanted to have more concrete information to give y'all tonight, I had written to the game department and asked could I have a breakdown of the figure, because they had told me, I think on Friday, that they were going to charge the fund $125,000 a year for the work that they do to sell these licenses. Today we asked for the specifics, the details of that $125,000, and we got that, and we also saw that they increased what they thought they were going to charge us by $30,000. So what you... Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. So right now they're telling us that they're going to ask us to pay almost $155,000 per year. But again, we've only just begun to look into that, and no decisions have been made or whatever. I do have some extra copies. I believe I gave all of y'all one, but I'm going to lay them up here if anyone would like to see them. Of the information we got from the game department.
Yearly budget.
Does anyone have any questions about that? Yes, sir.
Ms. McCroskey, when you sit down and do this and do the math again on this,
yes,
could you come up with a figure of this $154,000, how many licenses it's going to cost to...
How many
saltwater fishing licenses does this cost? Now, how much does this represent?
How many licenses have to be sold to fund that $150,000?
Oh, yes, sir, before we make that amount of money.
The second thing is, since the majority of the DGIF, and I'll say probably 99.9% of their licenses are sold over the Internet, even though they do, you know, the Walmarts, the Bass Pro Shops, and folks like that still sell them, how much are they paying those entities to sell the licenses? And how much are they paying DMV to sell the licenses?
I'm sorry, DMV?
DMV sells hunting, fishing licenses, and trailers. You know, it's like walking into another game department license bureau to at a DMV office. And that was done through the Governor's Reform Commission. And DMV volunteered to do that.
And the second part, what you want me to read?
See if they're actually paying the Walmarts, Bass Pro Shops, and places like that any amount of money to sell the licenses.
They did. I believe it's $1 per license.
All right. And then how much of... If Mr. Hudgens goes online and buys a freshwater fishing license, how much does it cost him to have the privilege of buying it online?
Okay.
You see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm. So you're trying to see what their internal costs are, if you will, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And if I come up with any more ideas, I'll let you know.
Okay, that sounds fine.
And that would be for each entity that they sell licenses through.
Okay.
Walmart, DMV, over the Internet. I'd like to know what their cost for each of those entities is, and you know, they should have a breakdown of that.
Yes, sir.
What it costs them to do business.
Sir.
I said, they should have a breakdown as to what it costs them to do business for each of these areas that they distribute the license over.
Okay.
You know?
Yes, we can certainly ask them to provide that information.
I think one direct question there, too, if I may, is whether or not they intend to increase staff as a result of this additional workload, or whether they're going to work, or whether they're going to work with the same staff that they had before.
When I met with them,
The workload associated with fishing licenses. If they're funded for a certain amount of staff, right, and that staff works 40 hours a week, was there an increase in staff to sell fishing licenses or not? If so, then increased cost would be expected. If not, I'm not sure where the increased cost comes from, other than cost sharing amongst otherwise supported programs, right?
Right, because I think we're going to actually probably line item by line item try to get that as much information as we can, because according to this, basically they're going to have one person working full-time from their customer service section based on the number of hours they're going to charge us for.
Right, so
that pretty much equates to a year's worth of time.
So that would indicate that they added a staff member to take on the additional burden of selling fishing licenses.
And I assume you're going to want us to see, too, did they add a person, or are they asking for funding for positions that were already in place?
That's kind of the root of my question, yes, ma'am.
I would think once the computer program...
They have some of those costs listed under personnel services.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, they do.
They do.
Any other comments or questions? And as we begin our research, if I have need for the clarification, I will get in touch with the folks that I wrote down their comments.
May I ask one... the total amount of revenue that is generated in licenses, I guess that'll all come out. Does the cost of the license need to be raised if all of the administrative expenses to sell a license is eaten up by? I mean, is it cost effective to, I mean, should it go up? I couldn't get any data. Looks to me
the bulk of the money that they're showing, $104,900, is for personnel.
Finally, I just gave up.
Right. $6. And it looks like it's one person full time.
Yeah.
2,100 hours basically equates to what you would expect somebody to work in a year's period.
Yeah. It's 2,080 on a 40-hour work week on 52 weeks per year.
Okay. Anything else, sir, gentlemen? Okay. The second thing, if you look also in the budget section, the thing that's immediately in the front of it is the request that we're bringing to you tonight for requesting additional funding or a yearly set aside for the telephone registration costs for administering the federal, what we call FIP, the Fisheries Identification Program. This, we're in the third year of this, I believe, and in the first two years ago, we came to you all and then went to the commission and said, we know we're going to have startup costs for FIP, and we would like an allocation of money to help us deal with those costs. So at that time, what was approved by our commission board was $125,000, and that lasted, we used that money over a two-year period. In addition, we got a one-time $100,000 grant, federal grant, money given to us by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, and that was also to help with startup costs, publicity, that sort of thing, because this license, this registration process is completely new. When we were reviewing our finances, we realized that we still had costs going on, but we had no more money allocated to VMRC to pay for the cost of the telephone registration process. And that is still a very significant amount of registrations. In 2011 and 2012, in 2011, phone registrations were 29.5% of all registrations. In 2012, they were 28.1% of the registrations that come through VMRC. It's our understanding that we will be considering the existing telephone registration process. So we estimated a figure for y'all, and that was based on the contractor that we have been using for the last 2 years, which was a contractor that was under contract to VITA, the State's Information Technology Agency, to do a number of things for the Commonwealth, one of them being phone-in registration. That group is called VIPNet. Their contract with the state actually ended a year ago, in last August, but the state was able to extend the prior contract for one more year. But in August of this year, you know, we're on our own to find a contractor to take over this part of the registration process. That's basically what we've been doing. We're going to go out and use the public procurement process, but it appears now that there is another state agency who has clients that will be able to help us with this, but that's not been finalized at this time. The negotiations and everything are taking longer than what we originally anticipated.
Are they aware of the amount of money we're paying or pay the private vendor?
I don't know if they are, sir, but that if anyone asks us that, Mr. Hudgens, it is a matter of public record.
Yeah. It's like $3.55 per registration to the vendor.
And our phone registration, Dr. Eric Barth, who is our systems development head of that department, really has a very streamlined speech. We provide them with the script of what to say, and with the mandate that the calls are really not a registration process, I believe, can be done in 1 to 2 minutes. So, because the registration process, that's all it's there for. It's not there to answer questions or to tell them where the best striped bass are running and things like that, you know. And so we'll be providing that very same script to the new contractor. Yes, sir.
George, I calculate with $75,000 a year for 18,300. That's $4.08 per registrant based on.
I just rounded it off at 20.
Yeah, I know, but I mean it's over $4. And I'm just wondering what is the point at which an angler where do they go first? What is the first thing that they see or where to know to call instead of going online? I mean, what is the point at which they hear about the FIP process and are directed either here or there?
Well, the first year, Mr. Schultz, we did have the federal grant and we did a lot of publicity trying to reach, you know, the people who recreationally fished in the Commonwealth.
Well, I don't believe we have that process going on. We're ongoing now. Yes. Our accounts are circulated. Of course, through all the clubs, they're all very aware. All licensing applications know, and there's no doubt that a lot of people still don't know.
Right.
Yes, right. My reason for bringing this up, I was just wondering, you know, what might be done in that literature, in those cards or on the agency website, to let them know that we'd prefer them to go online if they can. I'm sure some of the people who are calling by telephone can go online, but prefer to call, and that it actually costs us a lot more money to if you call, and you'd really be helping us if you... I'm just trying to think about how the message might be massaged a little bit to try and get people to go online if they're capable of doing it.
If I may, with the prospective contractor, that was one of the things that was talked about, to now they make the call but also encourage them sort of as a fade out portion to go online. So I think that was one thing that was talked about.
Now, I believe there are at least one or two states that only will do a mail-in or a computer, internet registration.
Well, why shouldn't we think about, paying for it this year and then make it to the public? We're not going to do this next year. You're going to have to go online to get it or through mail-in or something instead of saying, we'll spend $75,000 again next year for you people to call in.
Well, that's certainly I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from. I'm not.
You know, give them a year to learn this thing, just like they gave you the money for extra year to take care of it so that people would learn to do it. So we would give them another year by paying for it this year and no more after this year.
Well, actually, there is a set cycle in the Virginia Code that allows us to go through a process and raise the license fees every 3 years within certain conditions. But what we're talking about is the FIP registration process had to be adopted by the Commonwealth. That took legislative action. And at the same time that happened, the General Assembly put in language to allow us to kind of go off cycle, if you would, and raise the boat license, the private boat license, by $10 a license fee. And a goodly part of that was to generate the revenue for the to pay for the call center, the call process, to do the notification and everything like that. So,
would you really save anything with a mail-in? Because somebody's got to staff that too when the envelope comes in the mail.
I don't think there is very much of a mail-in, but I don't believe, because most all the statistics I've seen are either on the internet or.
I'm saying if you were to abolish the phone system and say you either come in through the internet or you mail in, I don't think you're going to say. Intuition tells me you're not going to save anything, because when the envelope shows up in the mail, somebody has to do something with it.
Right.
Right. There's got to be a person that opens the envelope and records the data. That's if you did that for $4, I'd be shocked.
Mm. Well, Jay. I felt like it would be such a small number that I mentioned it, because they said, didn't you say some other states use the mail-in? So
they use the mail-in, but I believe there's at least one or two states. Isn't that correct, Rob?
I think Delaware was high on the telephone call in the first year, at least, the first 2 years. They're kind of on the other side of what you're asking to happen.
We did get information, I believe, from at least one state, and I believe it was a state maybe north of us that was just trying to do so, and actually that might be what the state of Maryland had talked about, because we had talked about partnering with them and when this came on, this FIP process started.
Yeah.
Do you know the relationship between the people who apply for the FIP and people who buy a saltwater license? Do 50% of the people get FIP?
Well, I believe the number of registrations for FIP in 2011, it was slightly over 67,000. In 2012, it was slightly over 65,000. And I believe there's roughly 900 licenses sold per year.
900,000.
That's right. I mean, no, 120,000. Yeah. Is it not? 120,000 licenses.
So roughly only 50% of the people apply, a little less than 50%, or a little greater than 50% rather.
Yes, sir, based on the statistics yeah. that I'm aware of.
Some 60% of the people apply for the FIP.
Yes, they're also right.
You buy a license, you don't have to.
Right.
Right. If you buy a license, and I'm so sorry, I left that part out. If we do the reporting for you. We do a data exchange with the federal government.
Okay.
So if you come in and you bought a saltwater fishing license, once you did that, you bought an individual license, and we being VMRC, would take care of the fee process right. for you. And we do that, I believe, once a month to exchange data. But there's still 65, 66, 67,000 registrations that are not done, that's not done by VMRC because the person.
They're all freebies.
Right, didn't buy a license.
Yeah.
They're otherwise covered by a boat license or an exemption somewhere along the way.
Right, and if I may, so you have your boat license.
You're covered.
Friends show up, guests show up.
They all need it.
They want to go fishing. Well, that's where some of the calls come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make the call, they get everyone under the FIP that way, even though the boat owner's already covered. But I guess what I would suggest is that you know, we can take some opportunities, although that money from ASMFC is not available, we'll just start to take opportunities to try and promote use of the Internet whenever we can. I think that's the best that we can offer right now, sort of a helpful way to go forward.
And Rob, you already do that. I mean, I see that now I'm looking at the questions on the back here. It does say, if you can, please register online instead of over the phone. This reduces our program costs and allows us to spend more money on recreational fishing programs
that
benefit anglers.
We have to iterate that in different areas.
Maybe I don't want to.
Make sure the word gets passed around.
Just leave it
alone. One of the issues that VMRC has faced is that the registration process can go on 24 hours a day. And so when you get into a contractual arrangement with someone to cover that part of the service, then you have to have adequate staff to meet the registration process. So as of yet, I don't think we've been able to streamline that because, you know, we can tell them how many calls we get, but we probably even could give some idea of time. But to have that staffed all the time, you know, is expensive, unless you're probably doing it with other type services, you know, that someone is registering multiple people for different things. So we're hopeful that when we come back in July, we will have finished our negotiations with the state agency who, you know, says they can do this for the state of Virginia, and hopefully we'll have good news in that $75,000 figure will be able to reduce it down. But right now, it's the best estimate that we have. And so we are asking you, please, if you would recommend that for us so that we can take it to the VMRC Commission Board later this month and get final approval. That would be an annual set aside for those costs. With the understanding, of course, if the telephone registrations continue to go down, then, you know, we would most likely be reduce the amount that we needed.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is to approve. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Ms. McCarthy.
Thank you, very, very much. Thanks.
Review of the minutes for the March 2013 FAB meeting. Are any corrections or additions?
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I've given Ms. Nelson a couple of corrections. One of them, Mr. Dobler, was part of a discussion and he wasn't here.
Right.
And another one was a spelling error. And then the third one was who called the meeting to order. So I've submit those as
you changes. Heard Mr. Rose's suggestions that in one of the agreements with the corrections?
Move we accept the minutes with
then moved and accepted. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Moving on to item four, excuse me, multi-year projects for 2013 renewal.
Mr. Chairman. Move that we take A, B, C, D, E, and F as a block.
Then move take A, B, C, D, E, and F as a block.
Second.
It's been seconded. Any questions or additions? Okay, call for the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item G was withdrawn by the applicant. Moving to, item five, research projects for 2013 renewal. Item H, restoration of submerged aquatic vegetation, habitat in Chesapeake Bay and the Virginia Coastal Bays, Dr. Robert Orff, BIMS, $148,286.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend we approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve. Any discussion? Call for the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Gail, I offer just one comment on that, Mr. Chairman, if I may. That comment is I think Dr. Orth has been very, very thorough in the use of the funding the board has provided them in the past. I think we ought to recognize that and make sure that Dr. Orth understands the board appreciates right. his thoroughness and the feedback that he provides to the board on his projects, and to encourage him to continue in that regard and to seek other funding where he can.
Would you like to say something? Of course. I can't believe it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, again, we do have money that is coming to us from those who are part of this project. And, yeah, this is a tough time, as you all know, from the federal government. We're struggling, as everyone is, and we're doing our best, and I appreciate that. And we do make every effort to get other funds and keep these funds unless we really need them, you know, so they continue. One thing I do want to mention about this project that we have that's been ongoing now on the seaside, one of the interesting observations that we've made in the last year, and this came a few weeks ago, you know, these beds as they grow and expand, you know, obviously the concern is, you know, what's happening with the fish. But something that we saw this year that we hadn't seen in previous years are waterfowl, brant. That this was something that we were wondering with brant are around all the time because they feed in different areas. But the last couple of weeks that we've been there, there are gazillion brant out there in these grass beds feeding on eelgrass. And this is something that when you read the historical records back in the 20s, you know, brant were just everywhere, and this was provided a food source. Yeah, and it's just amazing. So we're anticipating that sooner or later people are going to hear and then, you know, are thinking this is going to be an interesting, you know, thing to follow up. Well, again, not for fish, but, again, these are part of the ecosystem services that these beds provide. But we were really quite surprised at the number of brant that we had seen about a month ago. They were just everywhere in each of these beds that we checked. So, you know, grass is making a difference, but you've made a difference because if it wasn't for your funding, I could never get up here and talk the way we do, or the way I do about this project, and I really appreciate it very much.
Well, I wanted you to know that the board recognized your thoroughness, and we really
and
appreciate
I love, it. You know, I've been giving a couple of talks to fish clubs. You can spread the word. I love giving talks to clubs. So if you've got any people that want a speaker, I'm available. Just have to give me a little bit of heads up.
Next question. Comment on the newspaper article that showed up a couple of weeks ago about the reduction in grass.
That's been the Chesapeake Bay. There are big issues in the Chesapeake Bay in a number of areas that we're concerned about. And this is what makes this project on the seaside almost unique in a way, because What's happening to Seaside is very, very different. And again, you know, what we're seeing there is unique. And unique in the world, there are very few places in the world that are experiencing what we're seeing on the Seaside. As a matter of fact, we've got a group of people coming from Denmark that are very interested in the success that we've had, that are actually mirroring an entire whole project that they just got funded for 5 years to restore eelgrass in one of their Danish estuaries. So we've got people coming over that will be watching what we're doing in this project to see how successful we have been. But you're right, the Chesapeake Bay is a very interesting issue and a big concern because of, in particular, the warming climate that we've had. That has been a problem for some of the beds in the lower bay. So we watch those very carefully, as we do all the beds, because we do map them every year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions, Dr. Oles?
And
thank you, Bob.
In a couple of weeks, we'll be out collecting. Now, if you ever want to come out and have a day in the sun, you're welcome to come out with us. It's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to item six, date for future 2013 RFAB meetings, June 15 for the second cycle project applications due, June the 8th, public presentations by the applicants, September the 9th, a public hearing, and November the 18th, the work session and the recommendations. Anyone having any problems with those dates?
Are we going to schedule a work session and publicize that, too, for the July?
July 8th. Right. Yep.
And,
yes. Okay. Yeah. Now. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good night. Lisa was saying that y'all would just like to see the wording thing designated as far as the parking is on the application. I don't think there'll be a problem with that. Well, I can be taken off anything or if they're like today, if it's just under $16,000 on engineering costs so far.
Could you explain a little bit about the origin of your concern relative to the wording and what that translates to in terms of how the parking situation in this facility in general?
Mr. Hall was saying the big thing is there are commercial fishermen there,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to cut them out either. But the majority is recreational fishing, and I think it's a legalese term, if you will. I think it's just the legal end. We do have a county attorney now.
Mm-hmm. So how would you designate parking if that's what you were going to do?
Well, I think what they had planned on doing is designating, if you will, every other space.
So basically a 50-50.
A 50-50 designation, yes, sir.
How many spaces are there?
That I don't know, because a lot of it is privately owned on the southward side of the facility. The gentleman allows a lot of people to park in there on this money as for years.
Now, would that be part of what you're deeming parking?
No, sir. No, sir. Just within the facility itself. Much like we've done with Quimby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're saying every other space, the recreational people that are using this would generally be trailering their boats?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
There are
that do have slips up there.
Okay. So would it not be better to, instead of every other space, maybe have a separate
area
for
another thing we've discussed is 150 feet on either side of the ramps. Designate that area just for the recreational fishermen, so that whole area is taken up.
Is there ever a parking problem there?
No.
Okay. So.
No, there's not. As I say, everybody's pretty neighborly there, so.
Okay. So we're we're for those of us not familiar with the facility, we're trying to figure out whether there's a real issue here or not. So that helps me at least.
No, there has not really been an issue at all.
Okay.
At all.
The 50 feet that you were talking about in the language, and I don't have a copy of it with me. Where does that relate to?
There are two launching areas there.
All
right. Ramps, and it would be within those areas, given two ramps.
Excuse me, are they both used equally by commercial and recreational, or is the one that's closest as you drive in, is that mostly a commercial ramp? Isn't most of the commercial facilities down there?
Pardon?
Isn't most of the commercial activity down at that end?
On the south end, yes.
Right.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. But you're going to designate an area
around that.
Around both of the launching ramps?
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
I do better with some pictures and drawings.
I'm not a good drawer.
They're a good distance apart. These ramps are not right next to each other.
No.
What kind of time frame are we talking about?
On the project itself?
On needing an answer for your question.
Well, I don't think we're in too big of a rush. 2 months, probably.
Can you provide Alicia with some diagrams as to what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
And the different options that you're putting forward?
Sure.
So that we can, so those of us not familiar with it, like Mr. Southall said, those of us not familiar with it can at least get some kind of picture.
All
right. It'll be helpful to also know the actual number of spaces.
Just within the voting facility.
Just within the facility, not the private parking. That's a separate agreement with that individual.
So if we are able to consider that in our July the 8th session and get back with the facility, would that timeline work?
That's for us, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, is that something we should have added to the minutes that the board, upon submittal of the diagram and recommended modification, the board could act at the work session on July the 8th and then respond via Alicia to the applicant,
yep,
saying yay or nay at that point?
Making that informal motion.
Okay.
All right.
I'll second it, but can I make a friendly amendment? Did we actually vote on it at the board meeting?
No.
Okay. I'll still second the motion. In a formal session?
Just a formal session.
That's what I was just talking about.
Right.
That's what we're trying to say.
George Mann?
All in favor?
Oh, hand,
yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I didn't get this gentleman's name and your relation.
Wilson, I'm sorry.
And your relationship to this.
I am the deputy director of facilities in the county.
Oh, okay, with Stuart.
Stuart had an anniversary tonight and could not make it.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, we'll excuse him for that.
Okay.
We need to keep things straight at home.
We
need to keep it straight at home for him.
You got that right.
Just a point of clarification, this will actually not require a vote, a formal vote. It just needs a consensus. So, as far as scheduling.
We'll put it on the agenda for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, do we need
to?
I make the motion, Mr. Chairman, that upon submittal of a site overview, including a proposed plan for managing parking from the applicant, that the board consider that modification to the current contract in our July the 8th session, and that we vote to obtain consensus of the board and then reply to the applicant via Alicia after the fact.
Okay.
As close to July the 8th as we can reasonably do that.
Second.
All right. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We stand adjourned.
Adios. I go.
So my question to you.
Yeah, that's it.
You were on the shoals with those fish?
Yes.
Huh?
I was in the suds.
In the suds.
Have to do it, George.
Inside suds?
Well, it depends. I have fished on the inside a fair amount this year. There's a little bit of a slough that lets you get in there. But I haven't caught
well,